Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. It's true. Maggie and Perloff in for Jim Rome today. The last day we'll be filling in for Jim. Then we head back to our original time slot, which is 3 to 6 Eastern. If you've heard us for the first time ever, well, you can hang with us every day, just a little bit later.
Yeah, I mean, usually we don't talk this much about hallucinogenic drugs, ayahuasca.
That's a lie.
Well, don't lie to them on air.
Right. Yes, this is what we say for our social media channels generally, which is where you can find us, Maggie and Pearl on Twitter, Maggie and Perloff on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, on YouTube. And I think that's it. And maybe soon in the transfer portal, because when you want to talk about college football, that's where all roads lead back to and what it takes to get players to come to your program, whether it's recruiting, whether it's the transfer portal. So with that in mind, we'd like to do a segment now that we call Do We Believe It? Lots of things happen in sports. Perloff and I maybe have a raised eyebrow. So this one comes from college football, and it comes from USC. USC, according to reports from yesterday, there is a new collective. We all know what those are, right? Boosters that funnel their money into one place, and then it gets sort of divvied out to college football players or college athletes.
Right. I mean, there is an argument that it is really marketing. So this NIL group will say it's local car dealers, and they say, okay, we're going to take the quarterback, and he's going to do this for your company, that for this company. That's how they sort of make this work.
Yeah, it's a centralized location, though, for fundraising.
Yes.
Let's just call it what it is. So apparently there's a new one. It's known as, quote, student body right at USC. And according to these sources, the football program is not happy with the collective. So the question is, do you believe it that Lincoln Riley is not happy about this new USC collective?
So I'm conflicted because it seems like you need a collective to compete. And you hire Lincoln Riley, he gets Caleb Williams, you're getting all the LA talent. Obviously, they're in it for a national title. If Alabama and Georgia have collectives, you better have a collective. So I understand that aspect. There is a lot of talk in college football that schools and coaches do not like competing with collectives. There's only so much money to go around. The Pitt coach said the quiet part out loud. Pat Narduzzi said, hey, you should be giving that money to the athletic department, not to the collective. And now you're getting,
dream on, Pat.
And the other thing, too, is some of the prices are getting up there. You're hearing about a baseline salary. USC, this collective, would give every player a certain amount of money. There are some big numbers being thrown around, like NFL numbers. There was a quarterback, I'm so sorry, I don't remember who. There was a rumor that he was going to get $8 million to go somewhere. That's more than an NFL rookie. That's more than a top 10 pick with the salary cap. So I think they are conflicted, but the bottom line is you need a booster group, right? Otherwise, you're not going to win anything.
Well, this is what you and I have always kind of struggled with when it comes to these collective and boosters. You know, the collective kind of becomes like, in a way, a de facto GM. Because they're the ones who hold the money, so they're the ones who can decide who do we want to offer this money to. But as you and I have mentioned many times, first of all, it's not like the coach and the collective would not be talking, and that's not illegal. And secondly, what's different from years ago when the car dealership maybe wanted the star quarterback out of so-and-so high school and decided to give them $100 handshakes or whatever you want to call it from back in the day?
Well, you're thinking Friday Night Lights where the car dealership ran the team, basically, buddy.
I mean, I can think of even more programs where that happened.
Well, that was high school, but yes, no, of course. I remember Nev Shapiro, Miami Hurricanes.
Like, of course.
This is... Not you don't have to go back several years. Go back 3 years before NIL existed. This was the paradigm.
Yeah, so that's where I always kind of like, so now the coaches are upset about it because the collective's going to have power. Didn't the boosters always have a lot of power? We've seen blue chips.
Well, follow the money, Maggie. I'm very curious to see where this all lands because this is the Wild West. The spending is not going to make sense at first, and I think college football does have to settle on what's a going rate. I mean, they might as well pay players because they're obviously getting paid through this NIL rule. NIL was not designed to be like that at all. Guess what? It is. And both you and I think the payers should get paid, so we're fine.
Yeah. The one thing I kind of actually like about this, it's a little bit different than what we originally thought, which is like, you know, the quarterback's going to get a lot of money. Your star receiver's going to get a lot of money. Running backs, you know, corners, whatever, defensive ends. But this sort of base salary thing that's going on,
yeah,
where it's like everybody gets like 35K
yeah,
or something like that, is a sort of a direction I kind of didn't see this going. I always thought it was going to be really top-heavy and star-driven, but very quickly it's become, okay, those stars are going to get their money, but if you are, you know, the right guard, you're also going to make 35 grand. Like, not bad.
No, it's so different yeah. than what we ever would have expected. Obviously, you had Tommy Tuberville, the former Auburn coach, is trying to get some noise going in Congress about setting rules to do this. Have you heard the NCAA one time in this whole discussion?
Oh, God, no. I mean, we like to play this game where we ask our intern, Matt, who's going to be a sophomore at Michigan, does he know this? Does he remember this? Like, do you know what the NCAA is? You know, that thing is going to be ancient.
Do you know who Mark Emmert is?
No, never heard of Condoleezza Rice, never heard of Mark Emmert. Okay, let's move on.
But by the way, he does know the third string linebacker of Michigan.
Yeah, right.
If we want to talk about the Michigan QB battle, yeah. Matt's our guy.
Yes, okay. Coming up, our next Do You Believe It? And this one comes from the NFL. So obviously one of the most popular teams in the country is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Also a team that is going through maybe a true quarterback competition.
Right.
Although Mike Tomlin is saying they are closer to deciding that.
They've all remained viable. They're making it difficult for us. It's tough to manage three capable guys, but they're forcing us to do it because they're making the necessary plays. They're anticipating. The timing has been good. The accuracy has been good. You know, Mitch's silver bullet, if you will, is his fluidity and mobility. He's a really good athlete. Rudolph throws a really good deep ball. Eight has been steady, Eddie. Kenny P, I don't think you can get him in an environment where he gets flustered. And we were able to appreciate that because of proximity. We saw it at Pitt, and it's been the same. It doesn't matter what drill or what environment you put him in. He's steady, Eddie, and really cool.
So that was Mike Tomlin on with Brian McFadden, CBS Sports HQ. Thank you for the sound. Sorry, the one thing that came away with that, and I'm sorry, this is not the direction we were intending to go, but can we get Kenny P and Kenny G together? Hmm. And obviously, intern Matt, no idea who Kenny G is, but like, that's got to happen. No?
Don't we need to get Kenny Pickett and Ben Roethlisberger together because they never met? He's got a lot. You have a lot of people to introduce to Kenny Pickett.
So what did you take away from that? Do we believe it? It sounds like if they could just make all those guys one guy, they might actually have a franchise quarterback.
I 100% believe it. I think it was Trubisky's job all along.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett's a rookie, and he was a little more raw than I think people think coming out of Pitt. He had gigantic numbers last year. It was Trubisky's job. There's been a lot of sort of Twitter breakdown of training camp, but from what I've heard, it's not even really that close. Trubisky's much more steady, and of course he is. He's a veteran quarterback. Kenny Pickett is not even really having a full offseason because he came in the draft. I don't think he had a chance.
And they can't Rudolph's a backup.
They can't go Mason Rudolph, right? We've seen that movie so many times, so Tomlin has to go Trubisky.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think the bigger question here is who's going to start the season. I think the more interesting question is who's going to end it as the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, because we don't expect that they're clearly not going to be doing any kind of tanking or rebuild. The defense is too good for that, and the team is not known as a team who would ever take that direction. I don't know if they can. So even with a bridge quarterback, I just don't think that's just not their steez. It's not their vibe, you know? So I just wonder, though, do they try to get Pickett into this season, even if they're doing well, to try to get him ready for year two?
Well, listen, you know, the trend might be reversing. We did not see Jordan Love on the field last year. We barely saw Trey Lance on the field last year. So Trey Lance was a number three pick, and he only played two games. So maybe they will let him sit. How about this?
And that was injury and Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, Jordan Love got in because of COVID.
It wasn't intent, exactly. Yeah. What if the Steelers are this all-defense team, hand the ball off all the time? Mike Tomlin gave a hint, Mitchell Trubisky, why not do a lot of design quarterback runs, run him into the ground? You don't care about his future, and Trubisky can run. That's a formula we've seen win a lot of games. Very conservative running quarterback, get a lot of extra first downs.
Yep.
I think this can be something, and I think Trubisky's a solid B. Stop, maybe a B minus. You can win nine games with a B minus quarterback.
In that division? I mean, don't you think it's going to be competitive? Well, Cleveland is obviously it's going to be much different.
That is
Jacoby Brissett's going to be playing.
Yes, it will be competitive, but it's a very injury prone division. You saw the Ravens. You know, the Ravens are still dealing with some injury issues from last year. J.K. Dobbins is not 100% either. So you never know. I don't think that division's so hard. At least they're not in the AFC West.
Well, yeah, that's obviously the gauntlet. Okay, let's move on. This one to Kyle Shanahan, who was talking yesterday about these trade rumors about Jimmy G. What? What is everyone talking about?
I know you're coaching the team here, but is there trade discussions happening right now with Jimmy?
I believe that goes on with his agents, and but none that I hear of.
Not no offer that has been brought to you. Say, what do you think of this?
I've heard of, yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't believe that. Not that I don't, I can't, I won't, I never will. Like, the head coach is not being kept informed about what potential new players might be on his roster if you're going to trade Jimmy G. Listen, I know, or draft picks, I know that, you know, it's not going to be a big trade. I get that. But you have no idea what's going on? That doesn't square.
Yes, I agree. Of course he knows what's going on here. I don't know if there's a robust trade market for Jimmy G because of the money. Yeah, so maybe he's not hearing anything.
Season starts in like a few weeks.
Maybe he's not hearing anything because nobody's calling. That was what I was worried about.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Why haven't you gone on any dates? It's like, because I don't have anyone interested.
Oh, man, it makes me think of last offseason when it was very clear that Kyle Shanahan wanted Mac Jones and somehow John Lynch talked him into Trey Lance.
Yeah.
So Kyle Shanahan does run that team. I know John Lynch is there, too. You're saying it's impossible. If there are trade talks, he's hearing about it.
I would hope that they would be communicating in that kind of way. Also, like, what is the bigger regret here for the 49ers? That they could have, they reportedly could have had Tom Brady and decided to stay with Jimmy G?
Wait, I
that's
can't
one
even,
that goes
I can't
back
even
a little
keep track
bit.
Of all this Tom Brady. So they could have had Tom
so
Brady.
There's a lot of questioning about, there was Tom Brady, you know, reportedly a quote was, you're going to keep that bleeping guy over me.
It's come out that it's Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami.
Was it Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami? Was it Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee? Was it Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco?
First of all, who cares? But second of all, I thought it came
I
out.
Care.
When the Dolphins thing came out, and he said this on the shop, right? I thought everyone agreed, yeah. Okay, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami. Which is, you know.
I think that was the initial, but I think as more information came out, I think it was Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee was who he was referring to.
Wait.
So initially, everyone thought it was Fitzpatrick in Miami. But
no, no. Originally,
or was it Drew Brees?
Originally, there were lots of
last
options.
Year in New Orleans.
I'm saying 8 days ago, everyone honed in on Ryan Fitzpatrick after the Dolphins tampering story came out.
Yeah, but they tampered. They tampered a couple times there. I don't know.
But it seemed like the Dolphins actually did want him, so it wouldn't have been the Dolphins being like, we're going to stick with this guy.
But it wasn't about Fitzpatrick. It was about the fact is they drafted Tua. That's not why they didn't go after Brady in free agency. It wasn't because Ryan Fitzpatrick was there. It's because they drafted Tua fifth overall.
We got to get to the bottom of this.
This is a story that's not getting reported enough. Who was he talking about?
Yeah, if you could give any player in the NFL truth serum, obviously Tom Brady is number one with a bullet. One, did you deflate the footballs?
Yep.
Two, did everyone know about Spygate?
Did you record the Rams walkthrough?
Now we got to get to the bottom of this tampering stuff.
Is the locker room bugged? Is Peyton Manning right that the visitors' locker room in New England is bugged?
Yeah, what else we got? Something maybe on the Malcolm Butler. Why did Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl?
Why did Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl? We all want to know that.
I don't know if Brady even knows the answer to that.
I'm sure he does. What else?
Well, I mean, I don't want to get an old Bridget Moynihan thing. Yeah, that's not nice.
If we have time left over and the truth serum hasn't worn off yet, maybe we'll get to that.
I feel like if you have on truth serum, you could get him talk trash about Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers.
Is TB12 real?
Yeah, is TB12 real? Belichick. Who gets the credit for the Patriots Super Bowls, you or Belichick? I don't even think we need truth serum. I think two beers and he'd answer that.
Yeah, two beers. Give him a tequila before 10 a.m. and he'll tell you, just like the boat parade.
But my number one is Deflategate. I just need finality on that topic. I know that it seems irrelevant now that we're several years later.
Irrelevant the moment he got back on the field.
Yeah, it was probably irrelevant by the fourth quarter of that Colts game when they took the football. But don't you want to hear from him at
some
point?
Is there anyone else you'd want to give true serum to? Besides like Goodell, I guess.
I mean, do you need it for O.J. Simpson? Probably not.
No, I meant current players.
Yeah. Well, that's a different story altogether. Remember O.J.?
You're going to out of nowhere hit me with O.J. Simpson.
Well, that's a famous one. If you want to hear somebody say, and you remember he wrote a book, If I Did It? What if Tom Brady wrote an article, If I Deflated
the
Football?
If I Deflated the Footballs, but the if was like very small. Remember that?
That was a little creepy. True serum to players. Man, the Patriots seem to hog this whole thing.
Probably Brady and Belichick would be one and two.
Aaron Rodgers tells us everything, so I don't think you need any truth serum.
I don't think truth serum isn't going to be as powerful as the stuff Aaron Rodgers is taking.
Yeah. No, it's definitely. Oh boy, we got to think about this in the break because there's probably some really good guys. But the Patriots, Belichick. I'd do Brady 1, Belichick 2.
Do you want to expand anyone in sports? You would give true serum to. Well, you can put that out on Twitter.
Yeah, the few owners I know you would like to talk to.
I know. Rather have them be deposed. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. No, it's really just one owner in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You can't give him true serum if you can't find his boat. That's the...
yeah, right. If he's docked, if his mega yacht's docked off the coast, apparently you can't take true serum then. Coming up next, Aaron Rodgers weighs in on a once taboo subject and hint it is not ayahuasca. We'll get to another subject with Aaron Rodgers. We'll do that in just a moment. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff in for Jim Rome today. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158, and the free Odyssey app. For the huge email of the day, for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Now, earlier today, we were having a conversation about why do football players need somebody to squirt water into their mouth from a water bottle? Why can't they just pick up the water bottle and squirt it in their own mouth? So this email comes in from Bruno in the Bay. As an elite and internationally acclaimed competitive freeze tag athlete, it's nice to have an assist from my squad's water gents. During timeouts, my body is in such a fit of exhaustion, resting my arms is a bit of a welcome respite. Thank you, Bruno.
I have no idea what to make of that.
Well, what I made of it is, this is silly, but why don't we don't talk about freeze tag? What an all-time great game. Great kids game, great playground game, freeze tag.
Freeze tag, it's definitely good, but I think people cheat a lot in freeze tag, too.
And then maybe also, you, Perloff.
If you're frozen,
no scruples.
You're frozen. You're so dependent on someone to unfreeze you. It's an uncomfortable spot. I have some bad memories about freeze tag.
I mean, okay, I didn't realize that I was scratching a scab there, and that all of a sudden your childhood traumas were just going to
blow out. Did you ever play TV tag?
TV tag, yes. That's
where you
a good
have to
one.
Basically name a show to get yes. out of your tag.
Now it'd be like streaming service tag.
But this guy's kidding. There's no adult freeze tag. Or is there?
Probably. You know hipsters today. Everyone, you know. It's like they're playing stuff from Harry Potter.
Yeah, Quidditch.
Yeah.
You're in a league. Frisbee golf, pickleball, Quidditch.
I think kickball was an all-time great playground.
That's a big hipster sport.
No, you know, now pickleball, which is like not a playground sport, but that's become like it's sweeping America.
Yeah. You know, I have my own pickleball court now, and I'm getting all my friends into it. I've played 3 times. It's amazing. It's not an old person sport anymore because in Brooklyn, there's a pickleball court.
Yeah.
And it's 20 rackets deep. You put your racket down to save a court with hipsters. It is. Everyone's walking around with pickleball.
20 rackets deep.
Everyone's walking around with make your own pickleball courts on their back. It is the thing.
I drove by a pickleball court yesterday and there was like a bunch of 13-year-olds playing on it. I was like, God.
Tennis fans.
Tennis is out.
Tennis players. So there's a big controversy. A lot of places where they're redoing tennis courts to make pickleball courts. And you know how tennis players, they have to fight to get court time. So it's a big, it's actually a real problem for tennis players.
Honestly, it's dividing America is what it's doing. It's ripping apart our country.
I feel like you're kidding with me because I always try and bring up pickleball.
Anyway, great all-time playground game. We have to get to one of our favorite segments, of course, and that is keeping tabs on Aaron Rodgers.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Never know. Never know with this guy. Got to keep a close eye on this quarterback. Today, he was talking about his replacement, well, maybe soon-to-be replacement, of course, his backup, Jordan Love.
There's always pressure on a first-round pick. The tracks are looking more similar by the day. You know, him being in his third year and me waiting behind Brett for 3 years. Something clicks in at some point, and the game slows down, and you make the plays that you know you're capable of making, and all of us come along at our own pace. I needed, you know, the years to get to where I was at. Whether the criticism was equal in 05 and 06 and 07 for me as it was for him, I don't know. But I'm excited for him, and I hope he goes out and balls out.
Okay, this is ridiculous. Because remember when they drafted Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers basically took over 2 years of his life with how dissatisfied he was with the front office. Now it's everything's going according to plan. Is this a new ayahuasca-fueled Aaron Rodgers? What's going on here, Maggie?
Well, the other part, well, the answer to that is yes. But the new part is, Okay, so if the similarities are happening where he took over from Favre after 3 years and now it's been 3 years for Jordan Love, but Rodgers just said he's probably playing for another 3 or 4 years.
I know.
To part of my take. So
but he
might have
been trolling Big Cat, who's a Bears fan. There's
but do you think this is Rodgers' last year?
No.
Neither do I.
He's playing too well.
What's the symmetry? Like, where is that? Jordan Love's going to be on the bench from now to the end of time.
You are seeing a lot of positive camp reports for what they're worth, that Jordan Love is throwing the ball really well. And it does make sense. I think Jordan Love is a talented player. I don't know what's going to happen here. And, you know, there is a much bigger issue in Green Bay. Their offensive line is in real trouble.
Yeah.
Both tackles are out right now. They're both hurt. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. The defense is going to be great. What I think the best case scenario, this is going to sound weird.
Okay.
Is that it's Peyton Manning, 2015 Denver Broncos, or 1997, 1998 John Elway, where they reshape the team. They don't rely only on the quarterback. They run the ball, play defense. They've been drafting defense for a decade. Can they be a completely different team? Who's Aaron? You know, Aaron Rodgers does not have the weapons. I'd like to see him throw the ball 30% less and win different ways.
Okay, maybe. The problem with that, though, is Peyton Manning was coming off of 4 neck procedures.
Yeah.
His, like, spine had been fused mm-hmm. in many places and, like, just didn't have the arm, you know, because his body was, like, in the midst of breaking down, essentially. Aaron Rodgers is not there. His arm is still alive.
If Bakhtiari's not back, we'll see how his neck vertebrae do. I just think that, you know, you need a plan B here. You need to change something because they haven't gotten over the top with Aaron Rodgers being, you know, 2 MVPs, no Super Bowl rings. So they have to up the rest. They get, you love Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coach. You're in on that.
I do. Yeah, sure.
The Bisaccia bump from last year with the Raiders. Oh, we're all in on it. But this is a Bisaccia
show.
This is a Bisaccia show.
This is actually a Bisaccia fan group posing as a radio show that somehow got to fill in for Jim Rome.
But just
it's all a big ruse.
Yeah, just to get on track, I really think this Aaron Rodgers thing, like, it's a great title. What is Aaron Rodgers up to today? You can never predict what it's going to be. But this Jordan Love has so many layers. And I just worry that, you know, is Aaron Rodgers going to be able to be an MVP level guy this year? And if he's not, does that mean the front office is going to want Jordan Love and we're going to repeat, rinse, recycle all these stories again?
I don't know. Everyone thought after the ayahuasca trip and he's made peace. We talked to Albert Breer yesterday, thought he's definitely retiring a Packer now, whereas before you would have said you're not sure. There's still a million ways this thing can shake out. You had another Aaron Rodgers story, yes?
Oh, so Aaron Rodgers was asked today, I believe this was today or maybe yesterday in camp, is the offense going to start winning? And he said, no.
Like winning in training camp.
Winning in training camp. Yeah. Because right now defenses are winning most training camp battles. And he apparently said, reportedly said, no, and I don't know if we're going to. They're a talented bunch. There you go. Packers.
There you go.
Packers really could be a top three defense. There's so much talent there. And if you're a top three defense, that's great for Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely.
Pull it back. I don't want to win an MVP if I'm Aaron Rodgers. I know that sounds weird.
Come on.
No, I mean,
I know
it's
this
not
is the new Aaron Rodgers, but, like, let's get serious.
No,
of course he still wants to win MVPs.
He's not winning MVPs throwing to rookies and Alan Lazard. I think he needs to redefine how
you
he approaches
future
it.
Hall of Famer Alan Lazard. Yeah. Put some respect on his name.
Yeah, they have to be a running defense team to some extent. I know you have Aaron Rodgers, but come on, are you that excited about Christian Watson, a second round pick out of North? Do you believe in these receivers?
No, but haven't I been led to believe that it doesn't matter who the receivers are because Aaron Rodgers makes receivers?
Oh, I said that.
Yeah,
didn't
you
I?
Said that. You say that receivers are like running backs now. You just keep drafting them. You don't pay them. Remember, does this sound familiar? This is you.
So you did earlier this offseason, Maggie's most intriguing.
I did. It was a list counting down 32-1, the most intriguing. And by totally, objectively, I got to the Bills as number one. Coincidentally, I've also been a fan of the Bills since I was born.
Don't you think the Green Bay Packers, with this whole Aaron Rodgers every day coming up with something new, don't you think that they belong pretty high? Aren't you curious how this is all going to work out?
What are you saying? You're saying that I got to redo my list?
Well, maybe. Maybe a post-training camp, most intriguing. Maybe not take 32 days on it.
You don't want me to go through the whole list again? 32 the Texans, 31 the Jags. I don't even remember the list now.
You had the Packers at 6. That's pretty high.
Yeah, once you get to like 20, they were all pretty intriguing.
Yeah.
It was really just the bottom ones.
I think the Packers get a little higher.
If they get a bump, they get
the post-ayahuasca,
psychedelics bump.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Your team's more intriguing if your quarterback went to South America to take hallucinogenic drugs. All right.
That's just this week. Wait till next week what he says. And then we're going to get back into the Pat McAfee show rhythm every Tuesday. Oh, they might be number one, Maggie. The Packers are, they're quite something.
I'll tell you what, Maggie's most intriguing is not number one on our list of lists. If you are new to our show, as we have a new audience because we're filling in for Jim Rome, Perloff and I are staunch celebrators of list season. We observe this, you know, as we would our best holidays. And we know it's list season. That's when you can start wearing white and linen, and that's when everybody creates their lists. And I'm a little bummed that I made a whole list of the most intriguing NFL teams, counted down 32-1, and it didn't even crack the top 10 on our list of lists.
I thought it was like the college coaches poll, which we actually don't know, but I don't think you can vote for yourself. So we can't put your list on our list of lists.
Well, I thought as having my back on the show, you wouldn't even need me to weigh in. It would just automatically go straight to number one. I mean, team around here.
You're putting this on me, I see. Okay. Well, if I don't put it number one, I'm clearly going to hurt your feelings. So I just left it out of the whole conversation based on the bylaws of our list of lists.
I don't know. I mean, I think you're reading the fine print there a little too much. But I have a new nominee for our list of lists.
It's time for Maggie and Perloff's List of Lists.
Perloff, you're going to love this one. This could be a number one on the list of list candidate. I'm about to shock you. This one comes courtesy of Bruce Feldman, longtime college football writer, now at The Athletic. He's got his annual college football freaks list.
Ooh. Who's in there? I would think Will Anderson at Alabama, the probable number one or two or three pick would be number one, no?
You would be wrong. Number one on the freaks list, intern Matt knows it, Mazi Smith, Michigan defensive tackle. This is what's crazy, and this is why I think this could be number one on our list of lists. This is why he's number one on the freaks. This is so funny. He does 22 reps on the bench press, but it's with 325, not 225. Get the bleep out of here. This guy's doing 22 reps with 325 pounds. Like, at the combine, you do 225. This is 325.
Is that a lot? I don't know. I'm a big bench presser. That doesn't seem like that yeah. much. Yeah.
I know. It doesn't touch your personal record, but.
Yeah, that's pretty freaky. I'll give you that. I don't know if that helps in football, but that's not bad. So he better go to the combine and do, what, 60 at 225?
It feels like it could break a record. Number two, because, of course, you're going to have Michigan. You got to have a little Ohio State. Marvin Harrison Jr., of course, a wide receiver and Marvin Harrison's son, from Ohio State, is second on the freaks and probably the freakiest athlete, according to Bruce.
Wait, get out of here. How can this be? Because his dad was not particularly freaky as an athlete.
Okay, well, because it's the evolution.
Okay.
It's the next generation. 380 pounds is what he benches, but he can do 22 reps at 225. He had a 3.94 shuttle time and topped out at 23 miles per hour on the GPS. He's Tyreek Hill, but way bigger.
Wow.
And, of course, we know what he did in the Rose Bowl as a freshman. 11 passes, 139 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't know. I have trouble buying that one because Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going to be a top 3 pick at Ohio State. He's clearly the biggest freak in that wide receiver room.
Maybe
Marvin Harrison. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing
it. This is about weight room freakishness.
Okay, so this is not on the field.
No, okay. This is workouts. Crazy freak athletes. I think this could be number one on our list of lists. I submit it formally, Bruce Feldman's list for our list.
You know, there is the NFL Top 100 coming out this weekend.
I know.
That's going to be a pretty strong candidate. The players vote, unlike us.
I know.
Aaron Donald, number one, is exactly going to be.
It's like a. That's
Brady,
why. It's because I know who it's going to be.
Yeah, but there's always controversy. There's always one stupid selection because players don't even put any energy into this.
Like the coaches poll?
Yeah,
nobody's actually paying any attention.
There's going to be an NFL Top 100 version of Texas getting a number one vote.
Okay.
We'll see what comes out.
Coming up, we have the best trash talk we've ever heard. Not hyperbole. This is some awesome, awesome stuff. Bottom of the hour. Time for a CBS Sports Update. Here's Rich Ackerman.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports Flash.
TMZ reports former NFL star Frank Gore.
Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time for the huge call of the day. Inside every growing business, there's an innovator. Dell Technologies has the tools to empower yours, like smart PCs powered by Intel vPro platform that's built for business. Find tech that's right for you by calling a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Huge call comes from our guest earlier this show, the one and only Peter King, Football Morning in America, talking about Dolphins owner Stephen Ross.
If you're going to seriously consider finding somebody guilty of tanking, then if you're found guilty of tanking, you've got to take the team away. You can't allow a guy to own the team if he was specifically and purposely trying to lose and motivating his staff to lose. So that's a really, really serious accusation. You've got to be guilty beyond the absolute shadow of a doubt.
That was Peter earlier. Wow. As we were asking him about a little awkward today that the Miami Dolphins and Tampa Bay Bucks are practicing together, considering we now know that the Dolphins were trying to poach away Tom Brady, tampering with him. And then our conversation turned to tanking.
Yeah, I mean, good thing for Peter, he covers the NFL, not the NBA. Because if that was true for the NBA,
no one would have their franchise.
Yeah,
or baseball.
There'd be about 14 vacancies. Yeah, baseball.
You'd be introducing a new owner every day.
There probably should be a few vacancies at baseball, so less of that happens.
Yeah.
But I think he might be right. The nakedness of $100,000 for a loss, which you and I disagree. I still think that was a joke. Here's why I think it was a joke. Because there's no way he was cutting a check for $100,000. He just wasn't going to happen. I've asked a lot of people this.
Andrew Brandt, you know how many different ways there is to move money around, to redo contracts, to put in different signing bonuses in future years?
You don't
have to cut him a check. You don't have to hand him a briefcase full of unmarked bills.
None of that was happening. There's no way $100,000 was going into Brian Flores' pocket for losing games. It just wasn't going to happen.
But
it's not Bounty Gate.
Another type of incentive, you know, like, hey, I'm saying $100,000, but if you execute my wishes here, hey, you'll find a little extra, you know, the next time we do a contract negotiation or something like that.
So, okay, that's not, hey, I'm going to give you $100,000 for a loss. Exactly. Like you're saying. The sentiment was obviously true. They were tanking for Tua.
Yeah.
Every NFL fan on the planet knows they were tanking. So if there wasn't exactly $100,000, then what are we doing here?
Well, that's what Peter's saying, right?
Yeah.
Like, because there wasn't a paper trail, it couldn't be so nailed down. But we all know what the sentiment was. I get why the NFL didn't want to open up this can of worms, right? Because you have to go back to your Philadelphia Eagles, you know, taking your Jalen Hurts off the field in a week 16. You got to go back to teams that so obviously tanked for high draft picks. Like, I get to help their draft positioning, right?
Well, the Eagles actually really wanted to play Nate Sudfeld that game. I'm actually not kidding. He'd been around camp for 4 years.
All right. We don't have to insult everybody's intelligence around here.
What did they move? What, did they move two spots or something? I don't even remember what happened there. That was not about the draft pick. That was about Nate Sudfeld's been working his butt off in Philly. Let's showcase him so he can get another job.
The fact that you are delivering that to me with a straight face.
Wait, what did the Eagles care about that pick? They went for what, 7-9 to 6-8? Is that what the New York? Everyone thinks in New York that they were tanking and they cost.
Think it's just New York. I mean, it did cost the Giants of the division, but I don't think that it's just New York. I think that everyone everywhere thinks it. But that was just one I was pulling out of a hat. I could pull out other examples of teams that clearly were trying to tank for draft positions. So. But it is big to try to take somebody's franchise away. You would have to have, I think, something to say that he was just joking around, I think insults everybody's intelligence. But I understand where Peter's saying it's such a big deal that you would have to take someone's franchise away. And to do that, you really need to have like super ironclad paper trail. I get it. And also I get this. owners are shielded and protected from so many things. So, of course, the threshold is going to be much higher to if you're going to take away a franchise. Instead, they suspended Stephen Ross for 6 games. I don't know what that does. He can't go to the games. It's not like he's starting quarterback. They fined him $1.5 million, which is a joke for a billionaire. And they took away 2 draft picks, a first rounder and a third rounder.
I mean, I personally thought the tampering penalty was stupid as well. You're telling me that was so... He said, what did Goodell call it? The most egregious tampering he's ever seen? Get out of here. Get out of here.
Never seen an owner that specifically involved.
It was so egregious that they decided not to sign him in 2020. What's going on here? So he talked to Tom Brady. How many owners have talked to Tom Brady? I still have not seen any evidence of it being the most egregious.
Well, that's why I think it was Robert Kraft and most likely the Glazers being like, how dare they talk with my quarterback? Go get him. Meanwhile, Hard Knocks started last night. And, you know, I'll be honest, I thought Hard Knocks was kind of losing a little bit of its luster. It's been around for a long, long time. It's kind of formulaic. And I wasn't like all that interested in it. But the first episode of Hard Knocks inside the training camp of the Detroit Lions has got me hooked, Perloff. And there are two specific reasons why. First is Aiden Hutchinson up in front of the Lions team performing Billie Jean.
People always told me...
Pretty good. Aiden Hutchinson knew that was coming, though. I thought this was going to be a little more off the cuff, like, oh my gosh, I need a song ready. Let me go with Billie Jean. He said later in the episode he knew he had to do it, so he was practicing like in his bedroom before he got up in front of everyone.
How can you not like this guy now? How can you not like that whole team? And not that this will translate to wins. I think being great on Hard Knocks sometimes helps your team be good. Like, there's a good record of post-Hard Knock teams, but... I think we're all kind of Lions fans. Isn't that weird? I didn't think we'd ever say that.
No, it's been a while, but if you're going to get like a sentimental favorite here, I think the Lions definitely are in the mix. Now, that was not my favorite part of Hard Knocks last night. I know it got a lot of attention. Aiden Hutchinson's kind of like the golden boy, you know, amazing guy. And he was fantastic there. I'm not taking anything away from him. But this coaching staff is like early 2000s football all-stars. Have you noticed all the guys who are on this coaching staff? So obviously Dan Campbell. So it's like, you know, as we remember him, Deuce Staley is the assistant head coach / running back coach. Yeah. And Aaron Glenn is the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, Deuce Staley, he was a finalist for Nick Sirianni for the head coach of the Eagles. Been with the Eagles forever. A lot of people think he should be the head coach of the Eagles. So he's a high, high-end assistant.
Okay, so apparently, and there's more here. I could go through. Mark Brunell's on this staff. Antoine Randall-L is on this staff. Kelvin Shepard is on this staff. I mean, it just goes on and on about all these kind of early 2000s guys. Hank Fraley. But Deuce Staley and Aaron Glenn clearly have a very different kind of relationship. And this, a close relationship, this was the trash talk that went on between these two guys as they're trying to execute a practice.
Why are you circling me, though?
I'm sorry.
Huh? Why are you circling me?
That's what the vultures do. They just keep circling.
Deuce, you're absolutely right.
Ain't no doubt.
You want something, we're going to give you something.
Yeah, well, we're going to take it.
We want something, we're going to give you something.
Take it. Give what you want.
Let's go, man, compete. I'll compete them. They'll talk.
Stop the screen.
You want to talk?
I'm happy for you.
Five-yard route.
I'm happy for you.
You should be.
Yeah, just stop the screen. I ain't heard you all.
Hey,
now you woke up. You forgot to tell them we playing today. You forgot to tell them we playing today.
Man, y'all had one play, now you want to talk.
They look scared.
These are not two players. This was not a training camp fight. This was two coaches who were going at each other. It was hilarious. And meanwhile, like, you're trying to run practice here. We got countdown till the season begins, opening with your Philadelphia Eagles, the Detroit Lions do. And you got the coaches who are so busy talking trash. It's like, is everyone else is just standing around watching?
Yeah. Hopefully they learn something from this.
What? I don't know. How to, like, you know, how to trash talk your opponent?
Yeah, that's a huge thing in the NFL. And the best players are the best trash talkers. I'm totally down with it. Again, if I'm looking at something, is it make me think there's going to be more wins over the total,
yeah.
or this is definitely a more wins. I love an intense coordinator more than anything, but I'm a little burned by the great "We're going to eat kneecap" speech by Dan Campbell last year.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to translate to wins, but the more and more they pile on, the more excited I am for the Lions, even if they don't end up winning games.
No, well, we obviously, you had the Jamal Williams we played for you yesterday, which is him being really emotional, crying basically, about to cry as he's breaking down the huddle. You know, and saying we're not our record last year, 3-13-1. It's not good enough when you're tired. Remember that record. But it was Dan Campbell, his speech directly preceding that, where Dan Campbell almost cried, talking about how guys have to trust him that he's going to get them ready for camp and, you know, and just, you got to trust me. I'm going to get you ready. I'm going to get you ready for the season. And Dan Campbell, to me, has got two speeds. He's either screaming or crying.
Yeah.
There's no middle. I've never seen this guy just tell a story or just be. It's like you're either eating kneecaps or something about a hyena, or you're just in tears.
Yeah. I mean, he's.
Guy's like, it's an emotional roller coaster with that guy.
I would say he is definitely the most interesting coach we've seen since Rex Ryan on Hard Knocks. I know there was a lot with Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley and all that.
Right.
But
that was a fun one.
He's one of the biggest Hard Knocks stars of all time. He's like the poet laureate of the Hard Knocks. I don't know
if you can make sense of any of that.
I don't know what it means. I don't know what half of it means.
No, but I'd follow that guy
it.
Through a brick wall. We also have an update from the Lions, which is Jameson Williams, of course, super, super, super talented wide receiver from Alabama who was drafted by the Lions. Now, he's injured right now, but he's going to be wearing Matthew Stafford's number 9. Asked Stafford about it. Apparently, he was cool with it. According to this list I found on the internet, there are 6 retired numbers from the Lions. Dutch Clark, Barry Sanders, of course, Bobby Lane, Doak Walker, Joe Schmidt, Chuck Hughes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Matthew Stafford is going to get into that list. Big Chuck Hughes.
Well, I mean, of course they're going to retire Megatron, right? So I'm assuming 81 is going to be out at some point.
I can't remember. Is he back with the team? I think he is.
Did they reconcile?
I think they might have reconciled, but I think even Stafford would be he was there many more years than Megatron. He might be ahead of Cal. Yeah, he's definitely getting retired.
Okay, so number 9 is going to be retired. So should they have not given it to Jameson?
This is very confusing because Jameson Williams could have a 15-year career there, and he's not going to give it up. So that. What if he is good enough to have his number retired?
You can retire numbers twice.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, right? The Yankees have done that many times. They're running out of
numbers. But that's the Yankees. That's not the Lions.
True. Not exactly the same thing.
No.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're doing there. All right. Quarterback's already banged up in training camp. Who should be concerned for the start of the season? It's Maggie and Perloff in for Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158.